The Golden Age of Radio is on the air. Morehead State Public Radio presents classic old-time radio programs from radio's golden age, the 1930s through the 1950s. On this program of the Golden Age of Radio, George Montgomery and Lynn Berry star in Riders of the Purple Sage, and Barbara Whiting stars in Junior Miss. Amelia Earhart discusses the future of women in flying, and Seabiscuit is the featured horse in the Santa Anita Handicap from 1937. Stay tuned for the Golden Age of Radio after today's news from NPR on WMKY 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Later on today's show, George Montgomery and Lynn Berry star in Riders of the Purple Sage, and Seabiscuit is the featured horse in the running of the third annual Santa Anita Handicap. In a moment, Barbara Whiting stars in Junior Miss, but first here's a 1937 speech by Amelia Earhart on the future of women in flying, as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
Among all the marvels of modern invention, that with which I am most concerned is, of course, air transportation. Flying is perhaps the most dramatic of recent scientific attainments. In the brief span of 30-odd years, the world has seen an inventor's dream, first materialized by the Wright brothers at Kitty Hawk, become an everyday actuality. Perhaps I'm prejudiced, but to me it seems that no other phase of modern progress contrives to maintain such a brimming measure of romance and beauty coupled with utility as does aviation. Within itself, this industry embraces many of those scientific accomplishments which yesterday seemed fantastic impossibilities. The pilot, winging his way above the earth at 200 miles an hour, talks by radio telephone to ground stations or to other planes in the air. In thick weather, he is guided by radio beam and receives detailed reports of conditions ahead, gleaned through special instruments and new methods of meteorological calculations. He sits behind engines, the reliability of which, measured by yardsticks of the past, is all but unbelievable. I myself still fly a Wasp motor, which has carried me over the North Atlantic, part of the Pacific, to and from Mexico City, and many times across this continent. Aviation, this young modern giant, exemplifies the possible relationship of women and the creations of science. Although women as yet have not taken full advantage of its use and benefits, air travel is as available to them as to men.
From Samuel Goldwyn's new picture, Up in Arms, we bring you a lady of talent and charms. Need we say more? It's Dinah Shore.
Hello. I want you to hear one of the numbers I do in Up in Arms. It's Tess's Torch Song.
It's a great tune, and there are more like it in Samuel Goldwyn's new Technicolor masterpiece of melody, mirth, and gladness, Up in Arms, starring that incomparable Broadway comedy genius, Danny Kaye, in his motion picture debut. For a truly grand motion picture, see Danny Kaye and Dinah Shore in Samuel Goldwyn's Up in Arms.
Presenting Junior Miss, brought to you transcribed every weekday night. Based on the delightful characters created by Sally Benson, with Gail Gordon as Harry Graves and starring Barbara Whiting. Judy Graves, our Junior Miss, has decided to take up a career and bring some extra money into the Graves apartment at 36 East 82nd Street in New York City, where she lives with her mother and father and older sister Lois. Right now, it's Tuesday morning. Breakfast isn't ready as yet, and in the girls' bedroom, Lois comes out of the bath. while Judy is sprawled on the floor, engrossed in a book.
Judy, you can get in the bath now. I'm finished.
Take a little more time, Lois. I'm reading something inspiring, wonderfully clever, all about the theater.
I'm not interested.
You should hear what she says about men.
I don't want to hear anything about men today or ever.
Darling Lois, you're going to have to because they're here, darling. They're here. Says so in the book.
What are you reading?
Tallulah.
Stop trying to sound like her.
Did I, darling? Well, I didn't mean to, darling. It just happened, darling. But you might be hearing more of it, darling, than you realize, darling.
And cut giving me that Tallulah routine. What's the matter with you?
Nothing the matter with me that a good job in a Broadway show wouldn't cure.
You're not thinking of becoming an actress.
Maybe. They do make good money, you know.
Oh, let Father make the money. I'm not in any mood to listen to you or anything about love or men or the theater.
Something go wrong, darling?
Wrong? I should say so. I've never been so disillusioned in my life. And after all I thought of Paul MacTwitter, how I really felt about him.
Paul who?
MacTwitter. He's the light heavyweight wrestling champion at Harvard. Never want to see him again.
What's the matter?
Didn't he try to get a hold on you, darling?
Oh, don't be smart. Get dressed. I'll call the folks.
Harry, aren't you through in there yet?
Just combing my hair.
Oh, Harry, I wish you'd hurry.
I'm hurrying, Grace. I'm hurrying. I have to comb my hair.
Oh. You've been combing it for the last 10 minutes. I don't think there's that much there.
Oh, it's all there. I'm still holding. If I wasn't in such a good mood, I'd take exception to that remark.
I didn't really mean anything, Harry. You shouldn't be so vain. And if you've lost a little hair, what's the difference?
Stop patting my head, Grace.
There's still some growing right there. It's not all gone.
Oh, now, please, stop it, stop it.
That's where it is, Harry.
Where?
Right there.
You're all wrong, Grace.
No, I'm not. Go ahead, pat it.
Well, you're all wrong. You mean here?
Mm-hmm. See?
Well, I just haven't combed it over yet. Stop standing in back of me.
Hurry, Harry.
I'm hurrying. Grace, can you find the throat spray for me, please?
The throat spray? Oh, Harry, are you getting another one of your sore throats?
No, my throat isn't sore, but I just thought I'd spray it to get in shape for this evening.
Oh, Harry, you're like a young girl whenever you're going to a thingamajig at the Yale Club.
Well, it's not a thingamajig. It's a dinner in honor of Jordan Oliver, the football coach.
That's the 15th thingamajig you've given for him this year.
Well, when we honor someone, we honor him.
Dad, Mother, breakfast is nearly ready.
Oh, be right there.
Well, I guess I don't need the throat spray.
Ever want to get mixed up with him for, I'll never know. Of all the people in Duluth to marry, I don't know why she...
Good morning, Hilda.
Morning, Mr. Graves. If you ever want to get mixed up with him for, all the ones to marry, I'll never know.
Is something wrong, Hilda?
Oh, it's that brother-in-law of mine again. The Dude of Duluth.
Oh? Not working again?
He's been collecting unemployment insurance for so many years now, I think the government's going to build a gold railing in front of the window for him to lean on.
Good morning, Hilda. Good
morning, Miss Grace.
I thought he was going into some business.
Well, he was going into television, but he changed his mind.
He did?
Yes, he figures that it'll last about 20 or 25 years, and then there'll be something new. And he just doesn't want to make a move until the kinks are all ironed out. Well, I'll... get the hotcakes.
Morning, Mother.
Good morning, Lois.
Good morning, Dad.
Good morning, Lois.
May I have the rolls, please, Mother?
Rolls? I thought you were on a diet, Lois.
I don't care what happens to my figure or what happens to me. I don't care if another man ever looks at me again.
Oh, Harry! Be careful.
What did you say, Lois?
I don't care if I ever go out with a man again.
Lois, don't you feel well? Grace, did you hear what she said?
Yes, I did. Lois, are you all right?
Of course I'm all right, Mother. Just have a different opinion of men, that's all. They mean nothing to me.
Don't say that when I'm drinking my juice.
Good morning, darling. How are my darlings this morning?
We're fine.
I'm glad, darling. It's so pleasant to see one's family happily gathered around the breakfast table in the morning. Really, darlings, it is.
Is it?
Yes, darling, it is. Really, darling, it is.
Well, all right, sit down.
You've been doing it all morning, Mother.
Oh, darling, Lois, you're in such a mood. Don't let it bother you, darling. Just remember, darling, ditch today, hitched tomorrow.
How are you talking?
Yes, stop.
Ditched. Don't you ever mention that word in this house or in front of me. Dad, did you hear what she said? She said I was ditched. Ditched. What a vulgar expression.
Yes, yes, it is. Were you lost?
Of course I wasn't.
Well, something must have made you give him up. You just wouldn't.
That's enough, Judy.
I didn't mean anything. Just that I feel sorry for you, darling. Men grow on trees, and you're the one to chop them down.
Well, that's enough of that, too. Why can't we sit here at the table and eat our breakfast like normal people should?
Your father's absolutely right, girls.
Here are the hotcakes.
We don't need Tallulah at breakfast. There's a time and a place for everything. Oh, hotcakes.
Harry, there's a time and place for everything, and this isn't the place for the Whiff and Poof song.
Oh, was I singing?
Yes, you were.
You should save it for tonight.
Oh, going to the Yale Club tonight, Daddy?
Yes, the boys are getting together.
Boys? That's a hot one.
I said boys, Hilda. Grace, did you hear
now,
what
don't
you...
Don't be so touchy, Harry. You always are whenever the Yale group gets together.
You gonna sing with the Glee Club tonight, Daddy?
Solo. And Grace, don't forget, find the throat spray for me, please.
Mm-hmm. Lois, how are you cutting the hotcakes?
Oh, I can't help it, Mother. I was just thinking of that Paul. All Pauls.
Lois, those are our good breakfast dishes.
Oh.
Poor darling Lois. Her nerves are just shattered. They are frayed, darling, aren't they? But don't you worry. Paul will be back, groveling at your feet. Mark my words, darling. Groveling. I said groveling.
There she goes again.
Judy, just what are you trying to do?
She's going to work, become an actress.
You are?
Well, I'd like to help out in the house. I don't want the whole burden of money to be on you.
Well, I'll take care of the burden. You don't have to be an actress.
Well, what's wrong with being an actress?
Well, there's nothing wrong with it, but I think you should finish school first.
But you have to start out young.
You don't have to start at all.
Gee, it's hard to follow you.
Well, I think I've made myself clear.
No, you haven't. One moment you say we need the money. Then when I decide to go to work to help out, you don't want me to. It's very confusing.
Grace, I don't think your daughter should be arguing with her father.
Well, sometimes you are hard to understand, Harry.
I don't think so at all. Just because I make a statement doesn't mean that it has to be taken literally. I just ask you all to cut down. I didn't tell Judy that she had to give up school and go out and work in the mines. She's making me out like Ebenezer Scrooge in Dickens' Oliver Twist.
He was in Christmas Carol.
Yeah. Lois, you keep out of it. I'm talking to your sister.
Lois is right.
This is between you and me, Judy. I mean, you're making me out like Uriah Heep in Great Expectations.
He was in Oliver Twist.
Well, we're not having a discussion about Dickens. Let's get off the subject. We're talking about you going to work.
You don't know Dickens very well, Harry.
Well, whether I do or not makes no matter.
Yes, it does, Daddy. It's like I said, it's very confusing. Mm-hmm.
You're hard to follow, Harry. You shouldn't use Dickens' characters if you don't know where they belong.
I don't care where they belong. All I know is Judy belongs in school, not out trying to be an actress. Just get the idea of the stage out of your head.
Gee.
We don't need any gee.
I'll get it.
Oh, Grace, did you see my tux was hatched to be pressed for tonight?
Oh, yes, Harry, I did. I had to let it out a little bit, too.
Oh, well, that wasn't necessary.
Oh, yes, it was. You can't button that top button anymore.
Who? Paul? Oh, just a minute. It's Paul, Lois.
She'll be right here, darling.
Well, she did it again. Tell her to stop, Mother.
Stop, Judy. Here.
Well, I don't want to talk to him, but I'll just tell him what I think. Hello, Paul? Now, there's no sense in you calling me because I just don't want to see you, no matter what you say. I've made up my mind. I'm just not going to see you. There's no need trying to force me. It's definite. Whether you want to see me or not, I don't want to see you. And that shouldn't be hard to understand. When I make up my mind not to see someone, I just don't want to see them. That's all it is. I just don't want to see you.
Oh, see you.
Bye. I wonder if I should have seen him.
That's Fuffy. Got to get going to school.
Can't you meet her in the street?
Hi, Judy.
Hi, Fuff. Be with you in a sec.
Morning, all.
Good morning.
Hi, Fuffy.
Fuff.
Judy, don't forget to bring your buttons. Have you got them?
Mm-hmm. We'll assort them at lunch.
Buttons?
Yes, buttons, Mr. Graves. Judy and I are starting a collection.
How interesting.
I took the top one off your tuxedo pants, Daddy. It was loose anyway.
Off my tuxedo?
I told you, Harry. That's why I had the pants let out. That button keeps popping.
Putting it on around the old bay, eh, Mr. Graves?
Puffy.
I mean, adding a little avoir du poids. Better, Mr. Graves?
Better, but I thank you not to worry about my stomach.
Oh, I'm not worried about it. And you shouldn't be either. There comes a time in every man's life around your age that he puts on a little in front and loses a little on top.
Can you notice it from there, too? You see what I was telling you,
Fuffy,
Harry?
Fuffy, will you stop staring at the top of my head?
Fuff, better not mix with my father this morning. He's really on edge. Doesn't like actresses and
everything. I didn't say I don't like actresses. I'm not on edge.
Oh, you are, Harry. Every time you're going to sing at the Yale Club, it happens.
It hasn't happened at all. If a father can't talk to his daughter as I was talking to her, and if you're going to take Judy's side in front of me when I'm trying to tell my daughter right from wrong, and then she doesn't have to... just...
What, Daddy? Speak up, Harry.
It's happened. I've got it.
What, Harry?
Laryngitis. You made me talk too much. Of all days to have it happen.
And don't get excited, Dad.
I'm singing the Whiff and Poof song tonight, and you say, don't get excited.
Daddy, do you want the throat spray?
Yes, something!
This is Roy Rowan inviting you to tune in tomorrow for another transcribed episode in the life of our Junior Miss, written and directed for radio by Henry Garson. Later tonight, my friend Irma changes jobs. When Marie Wilson, our empty-headed blonde, takes a new job with an architect, present-day architecture is set back several centuries. It doesn't take long for my friend Irma because she has a talent for making life resemble nothing so much as a tossed salad. Remember, it's Marie Wilson as Irma and Kathy Lewis as her saner roommate Jane Stacy with the boarding house gang in on the fun. Be sure and listen tonight on most of these same stations when CBS Radio presents another comedy episode of My Friend Irma. And now here's a word about some of the fine shows you'll hear tomorrow night on the NBC Radio Network. Comedy rules the roost when Bob Hope presents his fast-paced, typical, topical humor. And tomorrow evening, you'll hear Miss Jane Wyman as guest of the Bob Hope Show. So be sure to listen tomorrow. And then stay tuned as Phil Harris and Alice Faye brighten the airwaves with 30 minutes of hilarious comedy and some of the nation's most popular music. Along with Phil and Alice, you'll hear Elliot Lewis and Julius Abruzzo to keep the comedy on a mirth-quaking level. Remember, tomorrow and every Friday evening over many of these same stations, it's the Bob Hope Show and the Phil Harris, Alice Faye Show. Hear them both on the NBC Radio Network.
Eddie Thomas won't take the start until he's on his toes, until the jockey is ready, and then he'll push that button, the bell will ring, and they'll be on their way. We don't have any starting barriers now, as you know. They go over the... Here they go! And they're on their way down the stretch. The break was good. Every horse got a chance just as they left there. And as they come down here to the eighth pole, it is time supply and special agent. Special agent is trying to force his way to the front, and he's going to do a good job of it as they pass the stand. Here on the outside comes Rosemont in a good position. And as they go by me, it is special agent on the lead by one length. Special agent has the lead, and then comes time supply in second place right along beside him. Going to the first turn is special agent by a length. Time supply is second, and on the outside of him is accolade. And Buckthorn is close up. Far back in the crowd, on the inside in about 12th place is Red Rain. Up there close is Rosemont in about 6th place. They're going into the stretch. They've gone half a mile. And the time for the first quarter over this track was 22 and 2/5 seconds. The half in 45 and 4. They're turning into the back stretch with Special Agent on the lead. Special Agent has a lead now of 1 length and a half. Right behind him comes Time Supply. And in there is... slipping through on the inside is the other one of that entry, Special Age Indian Broom, is going up on the inside now in a good position. Around that far turn is still no change in the positions. Rosemont is having a hard time working his way through. He's now in 6th position, going around on the inside. He's saving ground, has got plenty left. If he's enough horse, he may get home. And on the outside, here comes the other one of Indian Broom, and Golden Eye is moving up from the rear. Here comes Accolade in 2nd position, and Seabiscuit is now moving up and is challenging as they turn for home. It's Special Agent and Seabiscuit challenging head and head as they swing into the stretch, and they've only got a quarter of a mile to come. They step the first mile in 1:36 and 4/5, and that shows you what this pace is. He can't live at it. Seabiscuit has got the lead halfway down the stretch, but here comes one of the Baroni entry on the outside challenging boldly, and the battle is on. Indian Broom is coming fast, and here comes Rosemont between horses, and Rosemont may take it all. It's going to be a photograph finish, and it's anybody's race right to the end. I think Rosemont got the money, and I think Rosemont was first. It was an eyebrow finish, and Seabiscuit was the second horse. Seabiscuit was second in one of the Taylor entry. I think Indian Broom was third. It was very close. That was an eyelash finish. Rosemont was closing strong, but Seabiscuit hung on gamely. The time of the race was 2:02 and 4/5, which makes the track almost identically like the track of 2 years ago.
One of the most thrilling finishes I think I've ever seen in a horse race in my life, Clem. The crowd down here has gone completely mad. The photographers are outside the charm circle, which is a white circle here where the winner will come up in just a moment. Newsreel photographers are setting up on every hand. The horses are just coming back now, and everybody, depending on who was their favorite, was shouting Rosemont, Seabiscuit. One would call Rosemont, one Seabiscuit. There are half a dozen here who are just as sure that Rosemont won as Seabiscuit. They don't know what to think of it. One of the most beautiful driving finishes I think I've ever seen.
Hey, hold, Pollard. Here's the photograph finish. Hold it.
All right.
Hold it now. We'll be ready for it. Just a few seconds and we'll know the winner of this race.
Got the race coming up.
I think Rosemont won it, but that's only my guess from where I stand. The photograph will tell us the actual winner. The naked eye is not as good as the photograph. We'll have it in a second. They're looking at it down there. I know it was an eyelash finish. Either horse won by a whisker, and that's all. Just the about a quarter of an inch. I can't see any more between them. I really shouldn't express an opinion on a finish that close. And they're still waiting. That shows you how what a difficult... There it is. Rosemont is the winner. Rosemont by a nose.
All right, Clem.
Seabiscuit is second.
Clem.
I'm just a minute, buddy, till I get it. Rosemont is the winner. I want you to get that jockey if you've got him. Seabiscuit is second. And the Taylor entry finished third and fourth. They haven't put up the distinguishing numbers, and they finished very close together.
You're listening to the Golden Age of Radio with the call of the third annual Santa Anita Handicap from February 27, 1937. We also heard Barbara Whiting as Junior Miss in a speech by Amelia Earhart. Stay tuned for more classic old-time radio from the 1930s through the 1950s when the Golden Age of Radio continues on Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. George Montgomery and Lynn Berry star in Riders of the Purple Sage on Hollywood Star Time as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
You're twice as sure with two great names, Frigidaire and General Motors. Frigidaire brings you Hollywood Star Time. Today we present Zane Grey's famous Western classic, Riders of the Purple Sage, starring George Montgomery and Lynn Berry. Each week at this time, Frigidaire brings you direct from Hollywood radio versions of the finest motion pictures with Hollywood's greatest stars. Today, Hollywood Star Time presents the radio production of the thrilling 20th Century Fox Western classic, Riders of the Purple Sage. 20th Century Fox soon will release their Technicolor production, Three Little Girls in Blue, starring George Montgomery, June Haver, Vivian Blaine, and Vera Ellen, and Frank Lattimore. Now, in just a few moments, Riders of the Purple Sage. Frigidaire, the greatest name in refrigeration, is made only by General Motors. And it is this association of experience, of skill with skill, that makes Frigidaire America's favorite refrigerator today. The 7 million Frigidaires built and sold are the best proof of Frigidaire's outstanding record of dependability, of lasting satisfaction. For back of every great refrigeration principle pioneered by Frigidaire, back of every exciting new Frigidaire feature, back of every exclusive Frigidaire advantage, is one all-important purpose: to keep food good to eat. Remember this when you choose your new refrigerator. Remember the record of millions of Frigidaires in millions of American kitchens. And remember, you're twice as sure with two great names, for Frigidaire is made only by General Motors. Now, Frigidaire presents the Riders of the Purple Sage, starring George Montgomery and Lynn Berry, and featuring another exciting musical score conceived and conducted by Alfred Newman.
Horsemen with the hard faces of killers had galloped into the sunlit courtyard of the Jane Witherstein Ranch. They had surrounded young Venters, the foreman, had tied him to a tree, and someone had handed the leader of the horsemen a vicious-looking whip. Even Jane Witherstein had no effect upon the horsemen or upon Adam Dyer, the man with the whip.
Adam Dyer, you're not going to whip my foreman.
Venters is a cattle rustler, Miss Jane.
No, you know it. Now let him go.
Sorry, Miss Jane. Give me a swinging room, boys. Venter's gonna get it.
No, he's innocent, I tell you.
The crack of a .45 came from somewhere behind the group, and the head of Adam Dyer's whip dropped to the ground, bitten off cleanly by the bullet.
Who do you think you are? Cut that man loose. You're interfering with justice, stranger.
You don't find justice at the end of a whip. Now cut him loose.
Cut him loose, boys.
All right.
Ah, that's better.
My name's Adam Dyer. Who are you?
Jim Lassiter. I'd be mighty pleased if you and your friends would clear out of here. Now get going.
Got the drop on us, men. Come on.
All right. Hoodlum. Well, are you all right, Bennett?
Yes, Miss Jane. Another minute and I'd have been peeled like a potato. Thanks a lot, Lassiter.
I'll have my stableman, Judkins, take care of your horse. Dinner will be ready in 10 minutes, Bennett. You may join us if you wish, Mr. Lassiter.
That's a cordial invitation, I don't think.
Don't mind Miss Jane Lassiter. She hates gunplay even when it's for her own good.
But why?
Well, one reason, a little 5-year-old girl named Faye Royce, Miss Jane adopted 3 years ago. You'll see her at dinner.
I'm not staying for dinner.
Might as well. My friends might be back, so I think I'll camp out at the Forks tonight. You can eat my dinner. Oh, go ahead. Miss Jane's all right.
Well, all right.
I'll join you at the Forks later.
All right. Thanks again.
That's all right. Thanks for your dinner.
More coffee, Mr. Lassiter?
I'd like some more coffee, please.
I was speaking to Mr. Lassiter, Fay, dear.
Thank you, ma'am. I'd appreciate more coffee.
Me too, if you don't mind, Miss Jane.
There's more than enough, Judkins. Your cup, Mr. Lassiter?
Well, if Lassiter can have coffee, why can't I? I'm a growing girl.
Fay, I've told you twice, it's Mr. Lassiter.
Leastwise, that's what Adam Dyer and his hoodlum vigilantes are going to call him after that bit of shooting you showed him, Lassiter. Yes, sir.
Well, that'll be all, Judkins.
I ain't seen such shooting since the time I shot the fangs out of my pet rattlesnake named Louise. And I remember
Judkins,
one day...
will you take Faye for her evening walk, please?
I want to stay in here, Lassiter, spin yarns and things.
No, darling, you go with Judkins.
Oh, all right. Come on, youngin. Oh, Faye, did I ever tell you about Martha, my pet rattlesnake?
50 times. But you always called her Edna.
Sure enough. Oh, that's right.
Good night, Lassiter.
Good night, Faye. Very nice little girl.
Yes.
I haven't had a meal like this since I left home.
Where is your home, Mr. Lassiter?
Montana.
What brings you to Arizona?
Miss Witherstein, did you ever hear of a woman named Millie Larkin?
Millie Larkin? Why, yes. She died right here in Cottonwood 14 years ago. She's buried near this ranch.
Millie Larkin was my sister.
I'm sorry.
She left her husband 15 years ago and took her little girl with her.
Well, I know there was a little girl named, let me see, Beth.
That's right. Know anything about her?
Only that she disappeared shortly after Millie's death.
There was another man mixed up in it. You happen to know his name?
Even if I did, I wouldn't tell you.
No? Why not?
Because you'd kill him.
How do you know I'd kill him?
Because you're a gunman. You're lightning on the draw and a dead shot and you're proud of it.
Ah, a six gun is the law in these parts, ma'am.
Yes. And you take the law into your own hands, like that crowd of men today. Oh, I loathe men of your kind. The killers. Men who can draw a .45 and murder a man faster than a person can think. My father was shot by one of your kind. My father. Just another notch in some cheap lout six gun.
Well, I'm very sorry, ma'am. I'll be moving along, I guess. I promised Venters I'd meet him at the Forks tonight.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes, ma'am?
Suppose you ever do find the man you're looking for. What will you do?
Well, like you said, ma'am, I'll kill him. Evening, Miss Witherstein. Venters?
Yeah, Lester?
Why were those men after you today?
They claim I'm a cattle rustler.
Are you?
I couldn't be working for Miss Jane if I was. No. But Judge Dyer, that's Adam Dyer's uncle. Judge Dyer wants Miss Jane's ranch a worse way. The Dyers, they run Cottonwood pretty much the way they like. He figures to get the men out of here and then walk in and grab the ranch.
Judge Dyer might run into some trouble on that.
I don't know about that.
Why don't you know?
The judge is a middle-aged man. But he got to be middle-aged because no one in these parts can shoot faster or straighter than he can. It's fear of him and his six-shooters that keeps Cottonwood from doing something about his vigilantes, his private police force, his night riders.
Venters, stop playing that box a minute. Horseman, lay low.
I bet they've been up to mischief tonight. Yep, just like I figured. That big fella leading them was Steve Oldring. He does a lot of Judge Dyer's dirty work.
Who was the masked rider riding beside him?
No. No one knows outside Oldring, I reckon. Wonder what devilment they've been up to tonight.
Listen. Listen to that rumbling.
Huh?
And the ground is shaking.
That sounds like one awful big herd of cattle in an awful big hurry.
Yeah, it is. Look. It's a stampede.
It looks like Miss Jane's big red herd. It is.
They're stampeding toward the cliffs. They'll be wiped out. More of Judge Dyer's dirty work.
If I can hold on to the steer, the others might stop.
You'll get killed.
Come on, Whitey boy. We're riding tonight.
Lassiter, don't be a fool. You haven't got a chance. Lassiter! Lassiter!
Ventus told me how you stopped the stampede of my herd. How can I ever thank you, Mr. Lassiter?
Well, you could lend me a horse. That lead steer gored mine pretty bad. I had to destroy him.
Oh, I couldn't possibly lend you one of these fine Arabian horses of mine.
Oh, well,
But I'd like to give you one if you'd let me.
Why?
Thunder's our best horse. Won't you take him, please?
Why, sure, ma'am. If you want me to have him, it'll come in mighty handy finding the men who started that stampede.
Quiet. Quiet, Thunder. Here come two riders down the arroyo now. One of them's a masked rider.
Yeah, looking around, trying to find out why the stampede failed. Remember, no gunplay unless they start something.
They will.
All right, you men, rein up there.
Keep your hands up where we can see them. We don't aim to have...
Let them have it, Benders. They fired.
My man's down. The masked rider's down.
Mister, they're both down. Let's go look at them.
Lassiter, look. The masked man. He's a girl.
A girl?
Oh, did you ever see such pretty yellow hair?
Yeah, she's still breathing.
Luck would have it, I didn't shoot so straight this time.
Why, she looks like someone I used to know real well. Hey, we've got to get her out of here.
I got to hide out where they'll never find us. Even a mountain goat thinks twice before climbing Surprise Mountain.
Well, let's go there. I'll carry the girl. How did you ever find this roost up here? You must be part eagle.
Yeah. You can put the girl down on this blanket now.
Yeah, there. I'll be back at sundown.
Where are you going?
To get medical supplies for the girl. And take good care of her, boy. Take good care of her. I'm it, boy. Take me home, Thunder. Take me home, boy. It's Miss James, Thunder.
Jim!
Miss Jane.
Jim, what's wrong?
I was...
Jim! Jim, you're hurt.
That ain't the end of it either, Miss Jane.
Adam Dyer, you did this, didn't you? You shot him and then you followed him here.
Out of the way, Miss Jane.
Adam, you wouldn't. Put away your gun.
Get out of the way, I said.
No, I won't let you murder him. Now will you drop your gun, Adam?
Just put Lassiter's gun right back in his holster. It's empty. He threw all his lead at me.
I know better than that.
45's got an awful kick.
Don't take another step, Adam. I warn you. I'll shoot.
Oh, no, you won't.
You little...
Now get out. The next shot won't hit your hand.
I'm not done with him yet. You wait up.
Jim. Jim, he wanted to kill you. He wanted to kill you, Jim. Darling.
In just a few minutes, Frigidaire will bring you the second act of Riders of the Purple Sage, starring George Montgomery and Lynn Barry. When Frigidaire engineers set out to design a completely new electric range, they first asked 7,550 women what they wanted in an electric range. From these practical, experienced homemakers, they got the answers. That's why the Frigidaire electric range has an extra large oven. An oven so fast, it reaches baking heat in 5.5 minutes. So even heating, that biscuits baked in one corner come out as perfectly as those baked in the center. That's why the Frigidaire electric range is so fully automatic, from its lighted time and temperature signals to the Cookmaster clock control you set to start a meal cooking and stop it automatically. That's why Frigidaire engineers designed the Frigidaire Thermizer cooker to cook an entire meal for less than 2 cents in an average home. And that's why they engineered Frigidaire's famous radium tube units to provide a complete selection of accurate cooking speeds to start heating the instant you turn the switch, to stand up under years of service. Radium tube units, so resistant to liquids that the same type of unit is used inside Frigidaire electric water heaters. Remember the care Frigidaire engineers took to find out what you wanted in your electric range. Remember their skill in bringing you these advantages. And when you buy, remember, you're twice as sure with two great names. For Frigidaire is made only by General Motors. Hollywood Star Time continues now with a radio production of the 20th Century Fox picturization of Zane Grey's noted Western story, Riders of the Purple Sage, starring George Montgomery and Lynn Barry. Lynn Barry soon will be seen in the 20th Century Fox production, Home Sweet Homicide, with Peggy Ann Garner and Randolph Scott. Now Act Two of Riders of the Purple Sage.
After being shot from ambush by Adam Dyer, Jim Lassiter spent a week in delirium, being nursed back to health by Jane. Now Lassiter feels fit to continue on his grim mission, that of finding the man who 15 years ago ran off with his sister, caused her death, and then caused her little daughter to vanish from sight. Jim is saddling his horse at the ranch, while Jane and her adopted girl, Faye, witness his preparations to leave.
I bet I could ride Thunder. I bet I could.
Jim?
Yeah?
Do you think that the masked rider could be your sister Millie's lost daughter?
How did you know about the masked rider?
You talked a lot during your delirium.
Lassiter nearly died, huh, Mama?
Hush, Faye.
Yeah, the masked rider stopped Little Lead. She and Venters are hiding out on top of Surprise Mountain.
Is she Millie's daughter?
That's what I'm going to find out now. I'm going to ride up there right now.
Lassiter.
Keep your hands off your gun, Steve.
How did you get past my guards outside?
Never mind that. Steve, Millie Larkin was my sister.
What?
I want to know if Bess, your masked rider, is Millie's daughter.
Have you seen Bess? Is she all right?
Answer my question.
Now look, Lassiter. When Millie died, I took care of her little gal. But I didn't bring Millie out here, Jim. I swear it.
Why didn't you tell my folks back in Montana what happened?
You just don't know what kind of a man brought Millie here, Jim. Why, one peep out of me and he'd have killed me and Bess, and no questions asked.
Well, who did bring Millie down here, then?
I can't tell you that.
You'll tell me that, all right, if you want to keep on living.
Well, the man who brought Millie to Cottonwood...
Look out, Steve! The window!
It's Adam Dyer. Why, that... He's making for the river. I'll remember that. Steve. Steve. He's dead.
Tough luck, Steve. Oh, I've got to go now. I'll get Adam Dyer for both of us.
There we go.
That's enough, Lassiter. Don't drown me.
Thought I wouldn't catch up with you, didn't you?
Don't talk me again, Lassiter.
Thought you could throw some lead over your shoulder and scare me off, didn't you?
Leave me alone, Jim.
Why did you kill Oldring?
You're making a mistake, Jim.
I didn't kill Steve.
Well, under you go again. You'll tell. You'll talk. You'll tell the truth. Tell me why you shot Oldring.
I'll tell you.
Who were you covering up for?
My uncle.
Judge Dyer, eh? Well, that's all I need to know. Come on, we're going for a ride. All right, Adam. Get down.
Jim, what's all this about now?
Jane, where's Judkins?
Inside. Why?
I want him to watch this varmint while I go to town.
Jim, what happened? I want to know.
Adam here shot and killed Steve Oldring a while ago.
More killing. More gunplay.
Yeah, the masked rider was Millie's daughter. Oldring was taking care of her, and he was about to tell me who took Millie from home and treated her so bad when Adam here shot him.
But why?
To cover up for his uncle, Judge Dyer. That's my man, Jane.
And you're going into town to kill him.
Well, hasn't he got it coming to him?
Judge Dyer's the fastest gunman in the territory. You may get killed yourself.
It's a cold fact, Lassiter. My uncle is dead with this six-shooter.
Jim, don't go. Let's take Faye and go somewhere and start all over. I couldn't bear it if anything happened to you again. Don't go, Jim.
Why? I didn't know you felt that way about things, Jane. I just don't know
Jane,
how to...
Lassiter, Miss Jane.
Judkins, what is it?
Miss Jane, she's gone. Faye's gone.
Gone?
What do you mean?
They must have sneaked up while I was asleep and took her.
Who? Who took her? Who?
They left this note. It's for Lassiter. Here.
Read it, Jim. Read it.
Lassiter, you can get the girl back by appearing at the Cottonwood Courthouse at 5 o'clock. Signed the vigilantes.
Then she's safe?
Yeah, for a while. They must have told Judge Dyer that I was shot Oldring.
You can't go, Jim.
Oh, I've got to.
It's a trap.
Yeah, I know it.
They'll shoot you down the minute you walk into Cottonwood.
No. Judge Dyer would figure out some way to kill me legally.
Then I'll go with you.
No, I'd rather have Judkins go with me.
Sure thing, Lassiter. Only, who's going to watch this Adam Dyer varmint here?
Him? Why, that ain't Adam Dyer.
Huh?
From now on, he's going to be Mr. Lassiter. What are you getting at, Lassiter? Clothes make the man, Adam. You're going to wear mine and be me.
Oh, no.
I say, oh, yes. Come on. Let's go into the barn, and I'll tell you all about it. I'm going with you and Judkins to visit your uncle.
What?
Yes, his honor, Judge Dyer.
This straight, man. The minute Jim Lassiter walks into this courtroom, the court will come to order. We'll give Lassiter a fair trial, and then we'll hang him. Now, you snipers keep him covered all along his route, but don't fire at him. Just make sure he gets into this courthouse. Then you can all come in and see the fun. All right, men, spread out over town. Hop now.
That's right, Mr. Lassiter. Walk up the courthouse steps like a little man now. Go on. Keep your head down and your hat over your eyes, see? Your Honor, I brought you your man.
The prisoner will approach the bench. Jim Lassiter, you're charged with the murder of Steve Oldring. They're found guilty of same and hereby sentenced to death by hanging. Take him away, men. Next case.
Oh, wait a minute, Judge. There's been a mistake. This ain't Jim Lassiter. I just said I brought you your man. The real murderer of Steve Oldring. Adam Dyer, your nephew.
Why? You double-crossing, moth-eating old... You know what I'm going to do with you?
You're not going to do anything with him, Judge.
Lassiter.
Yeah, that's right. Billy Larkin's brother.
You.
You notice I'm not reaching for my gun, Judge. That's because I'm here, first of all, on a peaceable mission. I want to know where Jane Witherstein's little girl is.
Across the street in the schoolhouse. But you ain't going there, Jim.
Yeah? You want to make a dispute out of it?
I'm a judge, Lassiter. I'm an officer of the law. If I pulled a six-shooter on you...
Why don't you stand up, Judge, and do that little thing?
You're pretty fast on the draw.
So-so, Judge. So-so.
Watch it, Jim. He's a rattler.
Well, Judge?
I'm waiting on you, Lassiter.
You're the fastest gun fanner in the West. Well, I'm letting you reach for your gun first, because if I kill you, I kill you in self-defense. Understand, Judge?
Yeah. I understand.
Now, let's go home, Judkins.
It's a lovely night, Jim.
Yeah, that won't be spoiled by night riders, vigilantes, and other lawless trash on horseback. Not anymore. Not in this country, Jim.
No, Jim, darling. Not in this country.
George Montgomery and Lynn Berry for your exciting portrayal of the famous Zane Grey characters. And also, we expressed our appreciation to the supporting cast. Joe Kearns, Harry Bartell, David Ellis, Doris Singleton, Griff Barnett, and Joe Duvall. This radio adaptation of Riders of the Purple Sage was written by Milton Geiger, with music supervised by Alfred Newman. The production was under the direction of Robert L. Redd. Hollywood Star Time is presented each week with the best wishes of your Frigidaire dealer, who invites you to come in and learn about the famous line of Frigidaire home appliances. Electric refrigerators, electric ranges, electric water heaters, home freezers, and a wide variety of refrigerating and air conditioning equipment for homes, farms, stores, offices, and factories. I invite you to join us again next week when Frigidaire's Hollywood Star Time will bring you the excitingly dramatic radio version of The Lodger. In the starring roles, Frigidaire will present Vincent Price and Ida Lupino. So until next week then, this is Wendell Niles speaking for Frigidaire, made only by General Motors.
The Golden Age of Radio on WMKY featuring Hollywood Star Time with George Montgomery and Lynn Berry in Riders of the Purple Sage. This has been the Golden Age of Radio, classic old-time radio programs from the 1930s through the 1950s. Material for this program provided by the Internet Archive, an online nonprofit library of books, movies, music, and old-time radio shows on the web at archive.org. Tune in again for the Golden Age of Radio next week at this same time and channel on WMKY at 90.3 FM and online at WMKY.org.